I said, I hate people. And then this particular lady, I hated her because of what she'd done. I wasn't even aware I did. But see, these are those strongholds. These are these things. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It's like we've got to find, oh, what came at me? This, that came at me. Now I got to deal with it. Okay, so here's how God is faithful. I was in the church. It was the middle of the day, and I knelt at my altar where I usually prayed. And I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me. And just plain English, he said, Judy, you hate her, and called her name. You hate her, don't you? Asked me a question. And I said, yes, Lord, but I don't want to. Would you take this out of my heart and give me love for her? Instantly, the power of God hit me. A love came into my heart for that woman that I'd been ignoring, that I wouldn't shake hands with, that I would turn away and go another direction, and she did the same. We didn't cross paths. And the next time I saw her, I ran up to her. I grabbed her. I hugged her. It wasn't long until God moved us to another place. I didn't see her again until my son got married. My baby son got married. And she showed up at his wedding. And they showed up. She had a tragic death. And I'm sorry about that. But in that instant, I'm just telling you guys out there that no matter what comes at you, the darts, whether people lie and get you, hurt you, betray you, divorce you, whatever, there is forgiveness that you can come up with that's not yours, because your feelings are hurt, because you're crushed, you're devastated. You can't even imagine why somebody would make something up and tell it. You can't even grasp it. But what you can do is go to the Father. Mm-hmm. And when you go to the Father and you pour it out before him, no weapon before you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn, because this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. And you come out the winner. You come out the overcomer, just like Jesus did. In Matthew, the devil came to Jesus. Matthew, let's see here. Where am I at? Let me get my readers. Which one is it? Four. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and nights, can you imagine that? Maybe no water, but for sure no food. He was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came, see, he comes in our moments of weakness. He didn't come to Jesus at the first. Okay, let's break, and then we'll talk about Jesus' temptation. Yeah, let's do that.
We're going to leave y'all hanging for a second. Give y'all a chance to...
That's good. Let's go for it.
Okay. I do not have any prayer requests on this side.
We want to pray for Neva's daughter, Renee, who's having surgery this morning. I have a friend named Penny Barnes. She's a bus driver in St. Louis. She started having digestive issues and some infection, and then it led to leg swelling, and her stent failed in her leg. It swelled up her leg. And so they replaced it, but then it failed again, so they had to amputate her foot from 5 inches below her knee. She's home now, and she's healing and going to get a prosthetic. And then I have a friend named Angela, her mom Viola. We've been praying for her for a while. She also had digestive issues that led to bad infection. They had to send her back to ICU Friday because the infection's in her bloodstream now, and she's back on a breathing machine. And then I have a friend whose brother had chemo, and now he's having T-cell transplant. And so he's starting to feel the side effects of the chemo and getting down and low. So we want to pray for him as well.
Praise God. These are pretty serious things. But you know what? All things are possible to him that believeth. Nothing's impossible with God. Right. And we've all seen his hand raise somebody from the dead. That's one of the things Pastor Brent wants, is to be able to lay hands on the dead and see them raise from the dead. One man pardon me, told about this, that in Africa he had worked with this little couple, and they were pastors of a church, and she died. And he wouldn't let anybody touch her body. He said, no, they received their life, dead raised to life again. And so he literally sat in the house praying. And they said, it was tropical area. And they said, Pastor, she's stinking. She'd been gone 4 days. And he's like, you need to let us take her body. She's swelling. And she's. And he said, no, God says they'd raise him up. And that day he heard from the back room her call his name. His name's David, but they call it David. David! David! And boy, he jumped up and went back in there. And the first thing she said is, why did you pray me back? Nobody should ever come back from the beautiful place I was in. And he said, Veronica, he said, didn't you know that I'm a pastor and I need a wife? And she said, don't you know that if you prayed and asked God, he would have given you another wife? She did not want to come back. I said, can you imagine being in the glories of heaven and have to come back and cook supper? I'm like, that's double duty, right? You know, no. So praise God. He's able to raise the dead. Where is our faith? Where is our faith? What kind of, you know, God help our faith. If we could grasp that word that says, nothing is impossible with God. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it will be done to you. What you will. After, you remember when y'all prayed with me in the parking lot?
Yeah.
And I went down to the restaurant to eat, and I had been fasting. And I went down there because Brent called me and asked me to come down and to eat with him. I sat in the parking lot and said, Lord, I go in and visit with him, but should I go ahead and fast or should I eat today? And the Holy Spirit was so precious. He said, you're free. Do what you want. And I'm like, whoa. In Jesus, there's so much freedom. The devil tries to run you around and say, you have to do this. You have to do that. You, and no, you don't. No, when you're with Jesus, you're free. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Neva's daughter Renee is having surgery this morning, and Lord, you know all about Renee, and we just ask you to go into that surgical room, that you will be in there and touch those doctors. May they be mentally sharp. May they know every cut, everything to make. May it go exactly as it's supposed to go, as it's planned to go. And God, even above that, that you would keep your hand on her life. Help her, Lord, if she's on the breathing machines or whatever she is on, whatever is happening, God, would you put your hand upon her, protect her life, bring her through this, oh God, with flying colors. And I pray you'll bless Neva and the family, God, that you will encourage them and let them have peace in their heart and know you got this, Lord. I give you praise for who you are. Give you praise because there's nothing impossible with you. What a mighty God you are. What a mighty God we serve. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness, Lord. We pray for Penny Barnes, and we just ask you, God, that her digestive issues, oh God, all be settled, and then, oh God, you will just bless her. Is this the amputee? God, that you will just bless her and you help her, God, with this situation she's found herself in. God, that you will touch her body, let it function right, let her be able to get used to this prosthesis. And Lord, we don't understand why things happen, but we know that your grace is sufficient no matter what we walk through, our losses, our gains, and your good times and your bad times. God, we ask for your anointing and touch and strength and help for this lady, God. Touch her life, I pray. Viola Romero, we ask God that you will touch her in the ICU room, Lord, and heal this infection in her bloodstream, and be able, Lord, that she'll be able to come off the breathing machine, Lord, at the right time, and this infection will heal. I pray they will know the right things to do, and above them doing the right thing, God, that you will just reach down and give her healing and touch her body and raise her up, not even to her glory, but to yours and to her good, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Father, I ask for Sean Ezel, the effects of chemo. Oh, wow. That you will just help her with this, Lord. That you will help her blood count to come up. that you will just take the effects of this poison that they put in systems, Lord, to supposed to heal and help. God, I don't know if it does or not, but I know you're able to touch her where it will help instead of hinder, and that you, Lord Jesus, can touch her blood cells, help them to come up to normal, give her strength and energy, God. Let her body fight, God, and give her, God, what she needs to live and move and finish her plan that you have for her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like custom designs in wood, you can reach Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now at the New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your socks off.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. I need to do the right thing. The challenge is finding out what that thing is. This is where you develop habits. Good habits produce good results. They're not dependent on what somebody else thinks or even what you think at the time. When you find the right thing, make it a habit.
Bardice & Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Sister Judy Gifford is our guest for today.
Yeah.
Our title for this morning is Jesus the Overcomer.
And he did. He did, and he does, and he will.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he'll help you overcome anything that you have, because he overcame, we overcome. If he hadn't overcome, we'd have been in a pile of trouble. But he overcame. And don't you know, the devil tried to kill Jesus, starting clear back in Esther's time with killing the Jewish race. And then God had a plan and showed it to Esther. And she said, Mordecai said, who knows that if you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And God put her right in place to save the Jewish nation. And hallelujah, they saved the Jewish nation. And then when it came down to Jesus' birth, well, the devil tried to kill him again by causing Herod to kill all the babies. And Jesus is God was a step ahead and took Jesus out and took him to Egypt in the night. And then we see Jesus as a grown man, and we see him speaking, and they didn't like what he spoke, so they took him to the cliff of the out of the temple to the cliff of the cliff, and there in Nazareth, there's one place that is a big drop off. The cliff kind of goes up, and it's a big drop off. And they had him, going to throw him off. And he just, I wonder if he blinded them. You know, I don't know, but doesn't say that. He just slipped out from among them. So the enemy tried. Now then, he's got him nailed to the cross. Finally, he gets him. And he's not smart enough to know it was God's plan all along. And it brought redemption. Don't you know if he thought that was going to bring redemption, he wouldn't have nailed him to the cross. He didn't know everything. He's not omnipotent. He didn't know. He had Jesus flogged at the nursing home the other day. I began to explain what Jesus went through, how that they took the cat of nine tails. And it was a whip. Ask them how many have seen a whip. And then a whip that didn't have just one thing on it. It had nine things on it. And so when you were hit with that, you were hit from head to foot just about. And then inside those little whips, they had bone and metal and different things to that it didn't just hit you, but when it went across and it pulled out the flesh, it pulled out the meat, it pulled out. So they said Jesus was marred more than I said, that wrapped around his body. It didn't just hit his back. You know, it went around to hit his stomach, and it hit every. He's hanging on, and he has his arms up like this, and so you know, from head to toe, he was hit. It probably went across his face. It probably, the Bible says he was marred more than any man ever. And yet that, look, if you look in Isaiah 53, it says, by his stripes, by his wounds, by the gashes he took on his body from that, he obtained our peace and he obtained our healing. He obtained the punishment. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Mm-hmm. But God looked on this humanity and realized all the people were going to go to hell, and he didn't want that. So being just, there has to be death, because God said it, and if God said it, it has to be. He is just. He's not only love, but he is just. And that's why we need to get under the blood of Jesus, because if you don't accept Christ's blood as your sacrifice for your sins, then you're going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and you will have to give an account of yourself, and you will pay for your own sin. And I believe in hell there are levels of punishment, levels. I've got two books on hell, and I've been reading them, and there's levels. I saw a guy on TBN. He actually said he went to hell and he saw Hitler. And he's on one lowest level. And he said, I was going to be real close to him for the sins I had done. And he said he was actually, what I saw him doing was they were putting him in a place to suffocate him and kill him. Mm. And he would like die and come back. And for every soul that he put in the gas chamber, for every soul that he tortured, he's getting the same kind of torture and punishment. So I don't know. I know that's not Bible. That is somebody's that actually went there. But we know hell is real. And we know that there's only one way to not have to go there. And Jesus made that way. God made that way. And it's called salvation through the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. And God doesn't care your color, your size, your name, your background, your family. Nothing. You're a human being alive, then you are eligible to call on the name of the Lord. So many won't, because we've got an enemy. This book here says, listen to me, Satan. And this is Carlos Anacondia. And he is telling about how they had to fight and to get those crusades going, and how they had to fight the enemy, you know. Well, he will come up to kill, steal, and destroy from you, but you and to lie to you. He will try, as he did with Jesus here in these parables, to tell you something. He will even take the word of God, and he will try to take you away from Jesus so that you can believe a list of laws and rules, and you can do as many laws and rules as you want to do. You can study any kind of voodoo, Hindu, whatever you want, any kind of anything you want to do. But if it takes you away from Jesus, it's taking you away from the only way to salvation. So don't think that your goodness, your church, your family, your knowledge, how much you studied your Bible, it is a matter of whether you've let that hit your heart and you believe. The Bible says, with our mouth we make confession, and with our heart we believe. and we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God took Jesus and had him nailed to that cross, and then he let him go into the tomb, and then he raised him from the dead, and he is our only source and means of salvation. And if you believe that, and you will say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need that, God, would you have mercy on me? Because I don't want to stand and pay for my own sin. I need help, God. I'm a sinner. And on the cross, that guy just said, remember me. Different people say it in different ways. Remember me when you come. And other people say, Steve Hill said it this way, Jesus, Jesus. He's just calling. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, his name is Jesus. The thief just said, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Takes a little bit of faith. To a lot of faith. But for us to push back all other people have said, all other ways they've shown us, all other things they've said, and go, it's really very simple. It's me and Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. And the Bible says he will wash our sins away. He will cleanse us, that the word will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He will put a pure heart in us. He will take the stony heart out of us, and he will put a pure heart in us, and he will give us his righteousness. We don't have none of our own. Our human natures are selfish. We care about number one, but when he comes in us, we care for the sick, we care for the lost, we care for mankind because he cares, and he's come in us, and he puts his love in us, and he puts his peace in us. That's the best thing, in my estimation, is the peace of God. There's nothing like it to have a troubled heart, a worried heart, and then talk to him, and then that's the Holy Spirit's job, see, and he lets us know we're his. He lets us know. I had an encounter with him Saturday morning. And I've gone through all this horrible stuff. And he let me know yesterday morning that, Judy, you were saved through it all. You were with me through it all. I couldn't see. I couldn't tell. I was going through great trials. But he is faithful. And it doesn't matter what we go through. He is faithful. And he will lift you, and he will help you, and he will purify you, and he'll give you his peace, which is number one in my peace of God that passes all understanding. The world can be troubled all around you. And no telling what could be happening. Your mama could die like mine did. And what did I do that day? I stood by her bed and lifted my hands and spoke in tongues, and the peace of God reigned in my heart. What did I do when my husband passed? I went over, and after he passed and everybody left the room, and I laid over on his chest for a second. And then I walked out of the room and I went home, and I opened the Bible up, and Jesus walked in and he spoke to me, and he told me my husband was numbered with the great like Jesus was. And yeah, he suffered in his death, but he was numbered with the great. And then he came to me another day when I was grieving so heavy that it was hurting inside. And I was sitting in the back bedroom on the bed and just moaning and groaning from that literal ache in my heart. And he came and he said, Dilbert is very happy and he's very honored for what he's done for the Lord. So what comfort the Holy Spirit is to us when we know him. He helps us in every area of the life. Don't do life without him. Don't stand in eternity without him. You don't want to stand there and be judged for your sins. You want them covered in the blood of Jesus. And just say, Lord, I've been an ornery rascal, but I sure do need the blood of Jesus to cover me. And guess what? He'll be there. However manner you say it, if it's remember me, Jesus, however manner you want to express yourself, the Bible says, call unto me. Hallelujah. And I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to know those things, don't you? I want to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I want to cast out demons. That's our job. We're to cast out. I want the discernment to see what kind of demon it is in somebody and say, well, you foul thing, you don't have a right to be here. We'll get that person to repent, and then we'll say, you come out. You get out. That is what Jesus said we would do, that we would be able to cast out devils. And we need to get ourselves in a place walking close enough to Jesus and walk in his power and his anointing that we can do that instead of letting these little ones suffer. Some children are demon possessed. I don't know how it happens, but because of who their parents are and where they have put them and what has happened to that child. Jesus was standing there and they brought a boy to him that the disciples had tried to cast out that devil and they couldn't. And he said, bring him to me. And they brought him to him. And he just, that spirit started to try to talk. And Jesus said, shut up. Be quiet. I say it, shut up. He said, be quiet. And then he said, and come out of him. And it had to make its presence known. So it jerked him, threw him down. And then zip, out he goes. Have to obey. There was one man that had a legion of demons in him. This man in this book that I've been talking to you about said that he met a man in where he's having a crusade that Jesus spoke to him and said, this man has two legions of demons. And he said, I was tired, ready to leave the crusade and ready to walk out. And they brought this man to me. And so I know that's for people who pray for a lot of people that happens to them. They kind of, I'm tired. I'm ready to go. I've already done this for 5 hours, you know. But anyway, he said he prayed against every one of those demons. So I don't know how long it took him or exactly what he said. But anyway, Carlos prayed against him. And he said the man took off running. And he said he ran into the night. And so he didn't know where he went. And so he said, so we just said, well, in the name of Jesus, we claim total healing for him. And she said he went to, went on home. And then and a year later, he came back for another crusade in that city. And this nice, well-dressed man came up to him. And people said, do you remember him? And he said, I'm sorry, I don't. You have to help me, you know. And he said, this is the guy that came that had no clothes on, that you had those two legions of demons in him. And he's well, you know, well-dressed man. And he said, what happened to him is he took off running and he ran to a field. And for 5 days, he stood in that field, naked, standing there in that field and yelling at the top of his voice. And he said, every time he yelled out, demons left. Every time he yelled out, demons left. Demons, till those 2,000 demons were gone. And because, see, people who are totally controlled like that, they won't keep clothes on. Mm-hmm. They won't. They don't know. They're not in their right mind. And this is what he says in this. And I marked it because it's called Demonology 101. He said that there's oppression. And he said that usually what happens to Christians is they'll get oppressed because it's from without, and so the enemy will come at them. And then he said there is kind of a form. He says, let me just read this to you. It says, it is common to see people spiritually oppressed. The oppression works from the outside. It never ceases. Its only purpose is to break down our resistance. It manifests itself through temptations and persecutions. It's usually Christians who suffer this type of oppression. It's the devil's way of trying to get people to go back to their old sinful lives. That's why the Bible tells us not to give the devil a foothold, but to resist him. And it says the tormented. Demons torment people. In this type of manifestation, the evil spirit is inside the person and works from within. These are fear, depression, and affliction. But let us be clear in this. A tormented person who manifests a spiritual problem isn't necessarily demonized. There aren't that many demonized people in the world. They're talking about totally lost it, you know, where they're gone. But there are many tormented by the devil. The person doesn't offer any resistance, but the devils are there. We simply have to cast and drive them out, as we are told to in Mark 16:17. We drive them out in the name of Jesus. Let's consider the example of the Syrophoenician woman who told Jesus, my daughter is suffering terribly from a demon possession. And after a brief conversation, Jesus told her, "You may go. The demon has left your daughter." Mark 7:29. If the demon left your daughter, it's because the demon was inside. If not, Jesus probably would have said, "He has left your daughter's side." The tormented person is not demonized. So I don't understand all those little intricate differences. I've ran into two demon-possessed people in my life. I was in a bathroom in Oklahoma City, and I was standing at the sink washing my hands, was getting ready to eat at a restaurant. And this old woman walked in, and when she walked in, she looked at me, and she said, "You, out of here." And I'm like, I recognize instantly the demon in her. And I said, "Yes, ma'am." Now, what I should have done is been, I was in my 20s, I should have been a woman of faith and power. Well, go, "You foul demon, you come out of that woman, you spirit of," you know. I don't know if I do that today or not, but I want to get there to where I do that. And so when I went to sit down, Reba reminded me of it last night. I said, "That woman, when she came out, that woman's demon possessed." And when the waitress came, I said, "That woman over there, she's demon possessed." She said, "I know it." She said, "Last week she was eating in here and I didn't do something she liked. She stabbed me with a fork." And I met another one at a nursing home. And I was shaking hands with all the nursing home people. And I was about two seats from her. This was in Oklahoma City in the 80s. And when I got about half as close as I am standing to you, about as far from Monica as I am, she stood. And her hands were literally like this, like that. And she said, "I don't want to talk to you." And I immediately recognized she's demon possessed. I said, "Thank you, Jesus." You know? But that's not really, shouldn't be my reaction. They said that she was a very wealthy woman. And she tears up anything putting it in her room. So there's telltale signs of somebody who's totally demonized. And I'm thinking, how did they get that way? What in the world happened? That's why we've got to stand our ground. Then as Christians, when we go around seeing this, that we have the power in us. We got the connection with Jesus and we're not afraid. We know those demons can't hurt us. They are looking for a body to possess because they're just beings out. And they're looking. And remember how Jesus said, "Go," and he sent them into the swine? And there was 1,000 of them, and they ran into the ocean, and they wanted Jesus. Instead of saying, "Oh, Jesus, look what you did for this man. He had 1,000 demons in him, and look what you did. Of course, we lost all these, but you know what, God? You can help us get more." Instead, they're going, "Get out of here, Jesus. We don't want you around our place because you just, I know it's about time to go, but let me finish this, okay, real quick. Is it okay?" Yeah, okay. The tormented person is not demonized. There is an area of, thank you. There is an area of his or her life that is under the devil's influence, either because he or she has not given it to the Lord or because there's a bondage. Maybe hatred or resentment. We all know very well that when these feelings are buried down deep in our hearts, a door opens for the devil to come into our lives and create havoc. This is very real and not a mere invention. And then it says the possessed. It says people who are possessed temporarily lose the ability to control their bodies and will. After being delivered and counseled, they don't remember what they went through right before the deliverance. The demonized lose control of their actions. They do things that they don't remember afterwards. Suddenly they get enraged and break and burn objects. And when they come back to their senses, if questioned, they will say they don't remember anything at all. Let's take a look at the father who took his son to Jesus to be delivered from the spirit that had robbed him of his speech. The father tells Jesus that at times the spirit would seize the boy and throw him on the ground. The boy would foam at the mouth, teeth, and become rigid. He also added that often the spirit would throw the boy into the water or into the fire, trying unsuccessfully to kill him. I really think this father had a lot of faith. How clearly he described the suffering and with what spiritual maturity he interpreted that it was an evil spirit and that had possessed his son. The father also said that this had been happening from childhood. He was also right in declaring that it was a mute spirit. So apparently this guy was a teenager or a young man of some kind. is that his son didn't speak, didn't scream. He had described many different ways in which the boy had been forced by the demons to manifest externally, but screaming was not one of them. Let us see how Jesus delivered this young boy. He asked, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you come out of him and never enter him again." And that is important.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 9:25. The first thing Jesus did was call him out. He said, "Listen to me, you deaf and mute spirit." But if he was deaf, how could he hear? Brothers and sisters, never forget that Satan is the father of lies and a deceiver. Take a look at what happened after Jesus rebuked him. The spirit shirked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. Now all of a sudden the demon is screaming and shouting. So do you still believe him? Jesus knew with whom he was dealing, and he wasn't deceived. And then you go on and one more. It says the insane. And it says, lastly, the type of manifestation indicates a complete and permanent possession. The devil has taken possession of the body and soul and the spirit. It's the total opposite of a person filled with the Holy Spirit. This was a case of the Gadarene man. He was completely isolated from others and had a violent behavior. He would hurt himself, cutting himself with stones. That cutting that people do is demonic. And they need deliverance. If they're cutting on their body, there's need inner healing, and they need deliverance. And Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
It says, this man was literally crazy. He was like the Gadarene. The last evening of a six-day crusade. I'm sorry, I'm reading. I jumped a whole paragraph. Let me start again. It's called the insane. Lastly, this type of manifestation indicates a complete and permanent possession. The devil's taken possession of the body and soul and spirit. It is totally opposite of the person being filled with the Holy Spirit. This was the case of the Gadarene man. He was completely isolated from others, had a violent behavior. He would hurl himself, cutting himself with stones. I have seen insane people in mental hospitals. They look but don't see. If you talk to them, they are not sure they're listening. You're not sure they're listening. They don't understand anything because they're totally demonized by evil spirit, dominated by evil spirits. Maybe you wonder if it is possible for them to be delivered. God has compassion for them. Also, just as he delivered the Gadarene, he can deliver those two.
Amen.
Others too. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So it doesn't matter. And I wanted to show you a picture of Jesus. This is this little boy. That heaven is for real. And this picture was drawn by a little 8-year-old girl at the time. Ionka was her name, and she's from Russia. And all she does is paint. I mean, she paints, paints, paints. Even as a child, she said she'd get up early, and she would be in her room for upstairs in the attic where she was, and that's what she'd do is paint. Well, a carpenter came. She'd been wanting someone to set as a model for her to paint Jesus. And a carpenter came to the door, and he set as a model for her. And this is her picture of him. Well, this little boy, Todd Burpo's son, Colton, went to heaven when he was 4 years old. He was just a small little lad. I don't know if anybody can see that. This up here, he's just a tiny, tiny little boy. And he had a visit to heaven at 4 years old, and he saw Jesus. And when he came back, they began to put together that he had had an experience in heaven. Mm. And so they began to ask him questions. What does Jesus look like? And they'd show him pictures. And they found out also that he saw his granddad, and because one time he said, "Dad, didn't you have a granddad named Pops?" And Pops had raised him because his own dad had died. And he said, "Yes." And he said, "He's really nice." He said, "He's nice. Where did you see Pops?" He said, "I saw him." He said, "He's really nice, Dad." They began to put out. Mm. And so they start showing him pictures of Pop. And he'd go. And they'd show him these pictures of him old with glasses. And he would say, "No, that's not him. That's not him." And then finally they found a picture of him up here with him, a young man. And he goes, "That's him. That's him." So it shows us we're going to be young in heaven. Yes. Hallelujah. Then let me show you the picture of Jesus. This picture of Jesus is, they kept showing him pictures of Jesus and say, is this look like, you know, drawings? That, and he'd say, that's not him, Dad. But when he pulled this up on his computer and saw it, and he said, Colton, come here. And Colton, he said, he came, and he was mesmerized. And he said, Dad, that's him. That's him. And so I like that. I'm wanting, actually, if anybody knows where I can get a big picture like this, I want to put it over my piano or over my fireplace. I want to get a great big picture of this. The only one I have seen in town, I don't know if they still have it, but Country Dove had it, but it was done on velvet. But I want one that's not on velvet. But anyway, Jesus is our answer. He overcame. One more thing. When the devil came at Jesus, one of the things he came at was his hunger. And he said, then he wanted to put doubt. Jesus had just heard God say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, 40 days before that when he had his baptism. But here come the devil to challenge that. And he says, if you're the son of God, remember you got a liar. That the truth is not in him. He cannot, because it's not in him. He cannot give you anything. He don't have nothing. He's a homeless, a homeless, losing liar. And he doesn't have anything to give you, but he will tell you everything. And so he comes to Jesus, but he challenges Jesus' lordship. So he says, turn those stones. Now, Mount Carmel's just pampered with rocks, but there are a lot of rocks out in Israel. No, so there's some kind of rock there. I don't know how big it was. Maybe it was just a small one that you hold in your hand, here like this, you know. Well, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, couldn't you turn this stone into bread? You could eat, you know. Just the devil always tries to get you to satisfy your need in his way. Mm-hmm. If it's a relationship or whatever, you wait on God. God's got something for you. Because when this was all over, angels came and ministered to Jesus. Angels came. What'd they give him? Well, they fed him. You know good and well they fed him. They gave him strength. They fed him. They gave him water. They encouraged him. They probably said, good job, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Good job. Good job. We're so proud of you. Amen. You stood through the tough times. And do you know, life is tough, but when we stand before God, he's going to look at us and say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You see, right now, as this one guy heard him say, God's still in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I'm still in the oven. Amen. But one day he going to pull me out. Mm-hmm. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. So we've got to be faithful through the tough times. Even, I want to say this about doctrine. Don't let the devil give you some other doctrine and think that's going away. If you're Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, or whatever you are, that don't matter. You got to have Jesus. Amen. It's not the religion. It's Jesus. Try to get Jesus to commit suicide by quoting scripture and twisting it and saying, well, the scripture says in Psalms 91, I don't know if he said it Psalms 91, but that's where it is. Well, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against the stone. So why don't you jump off there if you're the Son of God? Just jump off that pinnacle of the temple. Try to get. And he said, "Thou, it is written." Every time he said it, "It is written." We need to go to "It is written" and know what is written and know how to fight the enemy. And here's what he said. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou serve. That was the last thing. The first thing is man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceedeth out of the mouth of the God. And then this temptation of jumping off. Thou shalt not. It is also written. It is also written. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And don't think you tempt God, you're going to get protected. Don't think that scripture. Well, I can jump off anything and be fine. My daddy tried to jump off a barn with an umbrella once, and it turned wrong side out and down he went. You know, you can be mistaken, and we don't want to stand on Judgment Day and be sadly mistaken. Well, I trust in this book because that so and so said something, put your eggs in the right basket. Get a hold of the Word of God and don't vary from it. I don't care who says it. The Bible even says that. If an angel from heaven comes and tells you another thing Paul says in what I wrote, you call him accursed. Because this is, don't add one thing to it. Don't take one thing from it. But stand on the Word of God. And if we can really grasp it, and if we can really believe it, the Bible says nothing shall be impossible to him who believes. Amen.
Amen. Ooh, good food on this table this morning, y'all. Get you some. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our gorgeous sister in Christ, Miss Judy Gifford. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Amen.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.